Come explore our world of coffee. DeLuna Coffee was founded in 2014 by Ed and Courtney Lemix alongside their son, Brett. The delicious DeLuna blends are a product of Ed's discerning palate for the finest coffee beans on the planet, and Brett's business acumen has them on the national radar for quality. Savor the simplicity of Graffiti Bridge, 100% Colombian beans roasted to a city roast for optimal flavor. Ed and Brett are both FSU alums and are extending a special offer to our listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit delunacoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
From Tally to Cali,
it's time to wake up!
Wake up! Wake up! Wake up! Wake up. WarChant.com is your ultimate seminal sports source.
And this is Wake Up WarChant, fueled by DeLuna Coffee.
Coffee's for closers only.
Now here's WarChant.com's Aslan Hudjavandi
and Corey Clark.
Wake up! What's up, everybody? It's Wake Up WarChant. It is fueled by DeLuna Coffee, DelunaCoffee.com. Back by popular demand, the War Chant bundle stock is replenished. You know, all this supply chain constraint stuff doesn't apply to worldwide. Mr. International, DeLuna Coffee International, Ed, Brett, Courtney Lemix. The War Chant bundle, Corey, it's back. Graffiti Bridge, barista chocolate covered espresso beans, and of course, the Tumbler. Get it, DeLunaCoffee.com. Come explore our world of coffee. WarChant.com, ultimate seminal sports source. Promo code WarChant30 if you're listening to us on YouTube. All right, man. Okay. Hit the thumbs up. Subscribe to the YouTube channel as well. You will always be in tune with what's going on with Florida State sports. Shout out Tom Lang, Michael Langston dropping that video about Travis Hunter. I guess in his commitment to the Noles. Corey Clark, always committed to the Noles. How are you, Corey Clark?
I'm good. You say that, but on Saturday I was in Sanford Stadium watching the Dogs beat Mark Stoops' team. Pretty entertaining game. I thought Kentucky, played pretty well. Comported itself pretty well. But overall, yeah, Georgia's much better than Kentucky, and it showed.
What do you see? Is there anything that we should be envious about with Georgia?
It's funny you ask that. We don't ever, like, talk about the show before we start talking. But I was there in I haven't been to a pregame at Georgia in who knows how long. I mean, it's been since 1997 that I was actually in that stadium, sitting in the stadium.
Really? That long? That long?
Yeah. 1997. Now, when I worked at the Gwinnett Daily Post, I covered a few Georgia games, especially when David Green was the quarterback, because he was a Gwinnett kid. But I was in the press box. To be actually in the stadium, like, you know, cheering for my alma mater,
I hadn't done
that in 25 years. So what I was thinking about before the game, it had been so long since I'd actually paid attention to Georgia pregame rituals. Man, Florida State fans, you're lucky. Like, Georgia's... They're like, all right, get ready for the tradition of singing along to the national anthem. It's like, oh, that's really unique. That happens a million times a week. And, they now get ready for the great tradition of spelling out the best team in the land, Georgia. Now, Florida State does that too, but Florida State's got a couple of really cool traditions. Sod Cemetery, which isn't before a game, but then Osceola and Renegade, man. It just, no, Georgia, that's the number one team in the country. There's 90,000 people there. It does not compare to Osceola and Renegade. There's nothing close to it. So I was reminded of that, like how cool Florida State's pregame traditions are. So and maybe how lame they are at other places.
So does the band, like, do they march in formation and spell out Georgia or something? Everyone's like,
yes.
G.
Give me a G. Give me an E. Like you're back in the 40s.
Yeah.
Like you're back in high school. Or like Fran Tarkenton's the quarterback. Like it's, they're doing stuff they've done for 70 years. Now, Florida, there are other things that all schools do that, but like that's their thing. And it's just like, come on, man. This is all you've come up with?
How adorable.
In the last 100 years, you're still doing. The one cool thing they do is they have one like lone trumpeter that plays in the, in the upper deck with a mic on his trumpet. He plays like the battle hymn of the Republic or some nonsense, battle hymn of Georgia or something. But he plays it right before the game and he's up in the upper deck. That's something I hadn't seen before. So that was cool.
Is he by himself?
Other than that,
is the whole band on the field and he's just by himself?
The whole
the
band
stands?
Is on the field and he's up by himself.
All right. That's kind of cool.
That was cool. And it happened right above us. So that was pretty neat. But it reminded me what was cool about it is I took Brady. And I also took Brady to the North Carolina game the week before. As you can imagine, the atmospheres were a little bit different between a North Carolina football game in a Georgia football game when Georgia's number one in the country and playing another undefeated team and game day is there. But I was like, man, look at this. This is incredible. You haven't seen, he's never gotten to experience anything like that because by the time he's been a Florida State fan, he's been a real sports fan, Florida State hasn't had atmospheres like that. But I did tell him, and I'm telling all of you, it can come back. Like, Florida State does have a great atmosphere when they're good. There's nothing that says that we won't have 2 years from now an atmosphere just like that. That's what I'm hoping for anyway, because it was cool. It was cool to be a part of. But I also reminded Brady, because he's like, wow, this is unreal. I'm like, yeah, man, this is how Florida State used to be. This is where Florida State hopefully is getting back to again, because this isn't like unique to Georgia. Florida State's had plenty of atmospheres like this too, and number one teams in the country.
But anyhow, that was all lame, Travis Hunter. You don't want that. Come to Tallahassee. You don't want all that nonsense.
He got to sing along to the national anthem. So all you folks know, Brady was there. Like I said, I took Brady. He's the one that noticed Travis Hunter walking on. He's like, that's Travis Hunter. And we had just been down at the Hedges. They let you go down there like before the game to take pictures, and the players are all walking. So the recruits are all walking, and Hunter's got a boot on his foot. He's like, that's Travis Hunter. Can I go down and say hey? I'm like, no, man, just stay here. He's like, I'm going to go down and tell him I can't wait to see him as a Knoll. And I'm like, man, they might throw you over the hedges if you say that around other Georgia fans. He's like, I want to go tell him my dad works for Florida State, and I can't wait to see him in Garnet and Gold. I'm like, buddy, it's a great thought. I appreciate it, but no, let's just stay here. I don't want you to get thrown. I don't want you to get thrown. But that's where Brady's head at. Brady's head is at, everyone. He still wants Travis Hunter to be a Knoll.
Well, you know, if Dad would have taken Brady to the opener against Notre Dame, he would have experienced a really good environment.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So. And that I'm telling you, I was at both. I can't imagine that Travis Hunter being at that Notre Dame game and then being at that Georgia-Kentucky game was like more wowed by what he saw at Georgia-Kentucky. Now, he wasn't at the Syracuse game, granted. But he got to see Doak in all its glory and splendor. And I'm telling you, it's just different. And I'm a Georgia alum. That atmosphere is different than what Georgia-Kentucky was. It just is. Like, it's a better atmosphere. So you hope that's still in his brain. Like, yeah, this is the number one team in the country. They're sold out. It's 90,000. This isn't nearly as loud as Doak was for that Notre Dame game. And it wasn't.
All right, we're going to do a show for you all. We got a press conference coming up later on Monday morning. We'll have full reaction, all that sort of stuff up on War Chant. I shouldn't say all that stuff. You know, the good stuff you want to know about your team getting prepared for another game. The third win in a row, probably. It'll be a whole month they'll have gone without losing a game. That's awesome. I think we'll even have Trench Talk dropping on Monday. So we're all back ready to go, full cylinders, warchant.com. What I do ask you, though, Corey, is that I did spend the weekend back home in the Tampa area, and I did not watch any football, which is a very rare thing for me, and it sounds like I really lost and missed out on a lot. Has there ever been a week in which Florida State has sat idly by and gained so much than what occurred over the, I don't know, I guess, you know, the 48 hours of Friday and Saturday watching college football?
Yeah, so what's really interesting about it is, you know, I wrote a column that should be up on War Chant by the time you guys are reading this or listening to this soon thereafter, about, like, you know, when you see, you know, Florida and Miami both scored 42 points this weekend and they both lost. I'm flummoxed as to how Florida did that. I don't understand. LSU couldn't run on anyone. They couldn't run on Auburn. They couldn't run on anyone. Auburn, Kentucky, it didn't matter. And then they give up 320 yards to that LSU running game. And then Miami loses again. The backup quarterback had some nice moments, but looked like a backup quarterback for a reason. Or he was a backup quarterback for a reason. So now all of a sudden, right, Aslan, you look at, okay, Miami's 2-4. Florida is 2-6 in its last 8 games against Power 5 opponents. Now, granted, those losses, other than the LSU loss, I mean, they're to, like, you know, I guess Kentucky's a good team, man. I saw it firsthand. That's a good team. No shame in losing to them necessarily. But, you know, a couple of those losses to Alabama, it's a tough 6 there. But still, they're 2-6 in their last 8 versus Power 5 opponents. Might I remind you, Florida State is 2-0 in their last 2 against Power 5 opponents. And I think 3-7 or 3-6 in their last 9. But what should get Florida State fans excited is not only does Clemson's offense look like the 2018 Florida State offense, like, it is awful. It is a bad offense. I that's That's the hardest thing to believe in the country going
right now. Is it devoid of talent? Like, I didn't watch any of the Syracuse Clemson game. Is that quarterback just obviously not Deshaun or Trevor?
He's certainly not that. And they also don't block it up real well. Their offensive line is really struggling. He didn't have a ton of time to throw. They know he doesn't have a ton of time to throw, so they throw a lot of quick passes. Those don't work. He seems to get a little antsy in the pocket because he's so used to getting hit or guys in his face. They're bad, man. It's a miracle they scored 3 points against Georgia. I don't know how they did that. I guess they're a little more banged up than they were then. But yeah, they're down to their third string running back. I don't think the wide receivers have proven to be great, but also they don't have a really good guy throwing them the football right now. And he just might not be good. He might be broken. You know what I mean? Like this first half of the season might have broken him. We'll see. But so you look at Clemson on Friday night, and then you look at Florida and Miami on Saturday, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, well, those three games aren't anywhere near the challenge that you thought they were in August, or even in the middle of September. Like right now, Florida State is in a better place. I'm not saying they're a better team. They're going to be an underdog to Florida. But right now, Florida State fans, as crazy as it seems, are probably happier with their coach and their trajectory than what Florida fans are. Florida fans are like, what's going on? Who's the quarterback? He keeps flipping them out. They both threw like 25 passes. Like they both played played half the game, each of them. And the defense was a disaster. And he's also a weird dude, which doesn't help. You can't be the person that Dan Mullen is and go 2-6 against your last eight Power 5 opponents and then have a lot of, goodwill built up. Like there are people that don't like that guy that are just looking for an excuse. Ed Orgeron just got fired for beating Florida.
Well, they didn't get fired. They had a mutual separation agreement.
Sure, sure. I'm sure Ed was like, just pay. Maybe he was. Like, he gets $17 million.
It's over.
He's like, just give me my money. Like, he gets to go live the life and make $17 million to not have the stress of coaching LSU. And he's got a championship. Go retire on a fishing boat, buddy. Which is probably what he's going to do.
Or come be an analyst. Come be an analyst down in Tallahassee, Ed. Come on.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's an easy job, and he still gets the 17 mil. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think you look at where these rivals are, specifically in-state. Clemson might be a blip, man. It just might be a perfect storm of why their offense is so bad, and their defense is still incredible. So you're still probably going to lose that game because the defense is so good. But it's not unwinnable like we thought it was.
Right,
and,
right.
More importantly, moving forward, okay, which program has the most traction in this state right now to maybe pick up some people on the recruiting trail? Which program, crazily, right now, in the middle of October, seems to have the most stability within the state? I mean, again, Florida fans are irate with their coach and their defensive coordinator, and they're mad that he hasn't fired him already, and they don't know what he's doing with the quarterback, and he's a weirdo. And Diaz is dead coach walking, man. He's done. So Florida State now has a little window where if they can pick up a couple more wins and play well, man, they got a chance to, at least the gap has narrowed, right? Doesn't it seem like the gap has narrowed considerably? And wouldn't it seem that way to the recruits in the state that like, okay, none of these three are very good. So what's the difference? Like if I go to Florida, I'm not guaranteed of anything. And he gives me the creeps. Miami doesn't even know who their head coach is. I like the guy at Florida State. They haven't been very good, but they seem to be almost on par with these other two, and I like them. And, I think what's happened these last 2 and 3 weeks has really helped Florida State. This was a good weekend for Florida State, and they didn't even play. Like, a great weekend for Florida State, and they didn't even play.
That was the question. Like, they sat idly by and did nothing, and now here they are. And my text messages and mentions are, like, I'm not afraid of anybody on our schedule. What if we run the table, LOL? It's crazy. My brother's the one that was like, what if we run the table? But then he comes over Sunday, hangs out with me and my mom, and, we're making plans for, like, the Bucks-Saints game in late December, and I'm like, oh, yeah. I'm like, I should be able to get away for a day or two, even if they're getting ready for a bowl. And he's like, come on, man. Chill out with the bowl talk. And I'm like, well, hey, man, you're the one that 24 hours ago, you're like, hey, man, they might run the table. But none of those, it is crazy that it would not, I remember you, didn't you, I don't want to bring up some some bad stuff for you. But wasn't it somebody saying, you know, we're going to run the table after the Syracuse game? And you're like, if that happens, I'll give you $100 and I'll give everybody else that's listening to the show $10.
$10, yeah. Oh, absolutely, I did. Yeah, I still hold to that. But it seems a lot more doable. And it's not do. I'm not saying it's doable. I think about 9% chance
doable.
Of that happening.
It,
but I'm not predicting it.
Right.
Like, that would be – Florida State would have to play more consistently than it has in 6 years.
Wait, so why – why? That's right. I don't want – I'm sorry to interrupt you, but it almost seems crazy. I don't know if it's – it almost seems crazier to think that they're going to all of a sudden revert and go back to being very up and down. That almost seems crazier than, okay, they've plummeted. They've reestablished their kind of homeostasis and found – you know, where they're going to be at. And if they just can kind of keep playing between the Syracuse and North Carolina effort, and maybe a little bit better, that they can't, I mean, they're obviously going to improve. The UMass game is probably going to be a nice little help. That's a good way to come out of the bye week. That's an imminently winnable game. And then you got to play at Clemson, and you know how Clemson's going to be struggling. They could, I mean, running the table might be crazy, but to go, I don't know, like 4-2 from here on out, maybe 5-1. Doesn't seem nearly as crazy as me like packing up bags for Mike Norvell 3 weeks ago. Like, here we are, though. Here we are.
Yeah, I don't think it's crazy at all to think they can get to 5 wins. I still think Florida's the best team in the state. If they start playing that quarterback, that's a difference maker, the Richardson kid. He's been hurt, but if he starts playing full time, because he looked really good against LSU, he threw a couple really bad picks, but other than that, he was really good. So he's their best player on offense. So if he... And look, I even said in my column, Dan Mullen is an offensive, like, savant. Like, it's crazy what he did. All the things he did last year with a passing game, and then this year they've become one of the best running teams in the country. Like, he's just going to find ways to move the ball and score. But is that program close to winning a national championship? I don't think so.
No.
Miami certainly isn't. Florida State certainly isn't. And that's what I think when you look at where they are on par with the teams that matter to them, they're not that far off. Where, again, it would be outlandish for a four-star from Lakeland to choose Florida State over Florida. That would not be outlandish. Last year, maybe. I just don't think it's the case this year. Even if Florida State goes and loses to Florida, I don't think it's the case. I think you look at this program, and like you said, you feel pretty good about it, and you feel pretty good about the trajectory they're on for this season. Now, they got some tough games coming up. I personally think the way it looks now, NC State's probably the toughest team left on their schedule. So that's a game that maybe you didn't think was going to be that. I mean, it was going to be every game is challenging when you're not a good football team. But I didn't know that was going to be the one. But
I still think Florida. I still think Florida's the best team left on their schedule. I still think like Florida plays NC State on a neutral site.
What gave you so much pause? We'll see what they look like against Georgia. But like they just got gashed by an offense that doesn't run the ball. So you start projecting, okay, what could Florida State, who is good at running the ball, specifically between the up the middle and between the tackles, what are they going to do to that defense? They have a chance to move the ball. NC State, they looked good against Boston College, man. That was a dominant performance and a dominant win. But, yeah, I mean, they're beatable. They're all beatable. After you lose to Jacksonville State, you literally think, who can you beat on this schedule? All these teams are too good for Florida State. And now you look at it and you're like, because of the way Florida State has played, but also the way the other teams look and the way they played, you're like, yeah, that's winnable. That's winnable. That's winnable. That's not out of the realm of possibility. There is no way in August you would have told me that Florida State going into Clemson, I would give them a puncher's chance. Like, if Jordan Travis rips off a couple of big plays and they put up 24 on the board, they can win that game. Clemson hasn't scored more than 20 points against a Power 5 opponent this season. The last team to do that was like 2016 Vanderbilt. Like, it is a right now, and they might find themselves, and, you know, Florida State isn't a great defense. They might find themselves. So right now, it's one of the worst offenses in the country, which is crazy. I would have never thought that was happening. I thought the DJ kid was just the next in line. But so now you see, now that we've seen half a season, and we kind of know, have a better grasp of who these teams are, yeah, man, Florida State can beat all these teams. And, as we know, they can lose to all of them. But, like you said, I would be more I shouldn't say that. I was going to say I'd be more surprised if they lost the rest than I would be if they won the rest. That's not true. But it's close. You know what I mean? If Jordan Travis is healthy and can stay healthy, I would be almost as surprised if they lost the rest, not counting UMass, if they lost the final five games on the schedule as if they as if they won them. I don't think I worded that right, but you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's kind of where, but again, ask me again after the Clemson game what I think. But they should beat Miami. They're going to be favored against Miami. Mm-hmm. They might be favored at BC. I don't know. BC didn't look great. But, you know, so they got a chance to get to five or six wins, man, which back in the middle of September, I would have thought no chance.
The clutch shots, the biggest hits. It's time for the Zaxby's Indescribably Good
Player of the Week.
Let's go. Nobody playing football? No problem. It's been mainly other sports catching my fancy this fall. How about we go to volleyball, Corey? Sydney Connolly and the Noles, as a recording of this, they're still undefeated at home, 7-0. And part of it was a Paint It Pink weekend, taking down Virginia in straight sets. Sydney Connolly, she's a sophomore, efficient, I've been told. 9 kills, hitting percentage of .562, and best of all, not a single error in 16 of the attacks launched for her. So Sydney Connolly, my Zaxby's Indescribably Good Player of the Week. You, Corey.
I'm going to go with, I hope I get this pronunciation right. It's got to be Beta Olsen. Could be Beta, but I think it's Beta. Either way, the best thing about her, she leads the team in scoring. She's got 9 goals. Florida State is undefeated. They're number 1 in the country. It's Krikorian. It's what they do. She's from Sweden. But more importantly, she transferred from Florida before this season. So not only did you get your best goal scorer, you got a great goal scorer, one of the best in the country. You took her away from your rival. Well, I don't even know if Florida's a rival in soccer. I feel like Carolina and Virginia and Duke are more of the rivals for Florida State in soccer. But always good to make the Gators worse while making yourself better. And she scored a goal against Virginia Tech. Surprisingly, Florida State beat Virginia Tech 2-0 because that's what they – 2-0, sorry. They are still undefeated. They are number 1 in the country, and they got a big old showdown with North Carolina this week. So pay attention to that.
Beta Olsen, Sydney Connolly. Those are our Zaxby's Indescribably Good Players of the Week.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Okay then, Corey. So, what would go wrong then to ruin all this goodwill, all this good feeling we have right now for Florida State? Like, I mean, you mentioned you're not going to go as far to say you'd be more surprised if they lost all these games versus winning all of them. But if we were to believe that this defense now has, you know, put together, what, like 6 good quarters over the last 10 they've played, this offense, they're doing what they said they were going to do when they got here, right? Like, hey, man, we're going to score 30 points a game. You're going to get, you know, 4,000 yards of offense. If you're a quarterback, you're going to run for 2,000 yards. If you're a running back, if you add, you know, what the Sean Gaughan backfield's doing, if you sort of maybe extrapolate what Jordan would have done if he started all these games and you include his running yards into at least his total production, they're doing what they've done everywhere they've been. Like, so why not? Like, what's the cynicism of, let's not get too ahead of our skis now here, everybody?
Well, because they've only played really one complete game. It was the most recent one, so that's why you're excited. And I just think you're going from UMass to Clemson. And so I just, we'll see. I think what would give me pause, again, I'm expecting some losses. They're just not, I mean, it's hard to win in college football. They're just not quite good enough, talented enough to just run a table, like win out like 8 straight games. So there might be only one other team in the country that finishes with 8 straight wins. I just don't, Florida State's not going to do that. And they got some tough teams out of them. But if they get blown out in some of these games and don't compete or don't look, or just look overmatched, that's what would give me a little pause. That's what I don't expect to happen. I expect them to lose, but you know, mainly,
you expect them to not win every game. Let's not say you expect them to lose. That makes it sound like
correct. Yes, right. I expect them to not win every game. I don't expect them to get blown the F out like they did many times last year.
No,
And that's, you know, that's, those are steps, right? Those are steps. They are an average football team, in my opinion. In 2021, they are an average football team. Last year, they were horrible. They were worse than even their record, which was bad. This year, they're average. Next year, hopefully they're good. So, but to build on that, you've got to keep putting good competitive performances out there. And, you know, Clemson isn't unbeatable. Syracuse put up 14 points on them, and the kid threw an awful interception in the red zone. And then they, Babers did, I mean, good grief. Did you see the end of that?
No, I saw you, Jeff, and Ira, like the triumvirate of just everybody. Like, what did he just do? I don't even know.
Well, he did. Number one, he used a kicker that's not good this year. He's been good, but he hasn't been good at all this year. He had fourth. It reminded me a lot of the Willie game at Wake Forest. Long field goal, fourth and short. What are you going to do right here? I think Willie's was like at least fourth and three. The problem with Willie was he called a timeout to avoid a delay of game and then didn't have any timeouts left when he missed. Anyway, so we're not going to relitigate that. But so Babers, they're driving down the field. They've got a third and two with 50 seconds left at the Clemson 30, 31. They don't get it. They go for it. They do a zone read. He gives it to the running back. He gets a yard. It's fourth and one. Babers immediately calls timeout. Immediately. Like before the tackle is even made, he's calling timeout. It's his last timeout. Why would you call a timeout on fourth and one that quickly to then go kick the field goal? Like, if you're going to kick the field goal to try to tie the game, why would you leave any time on the clock? Let it run down to 6. It's fourth down. It just didn't make sense. So say he makes it, a miracle of all miracles, the kid that just doesn't look healthy, makes a 48-yard field goal. You've left 40 seconds left for Clemson to go down the field and score. Now, it's Clemson's offense in 2021, so they probably would have taken a knee. But it had gone to overtime, but it just didn't make any sense. It also didn't make sense that you have that huge quarterback, your best player is that running back, you have a chance to beat Clemson. Why are you settling for a long, pretty unmakeable field goal for that kid when all you need is a yard to keep the drive alive? So it was just a comedy of errors there in the last. And apparently, according to the Syracuse people that responded to my tweet, he has a lot of moments like that where the clock management is just bizarre to buffoonery.
Well, we saw it in Tallahassee. You know?
Well, we did, right? Yeah, at the end of the first half, and then kind of there at the end of the game. But especially at the end of the first half, it's like, what are you doing, man? How are you having to throw a Hail Mary at the end of this half? You had the ball at like midfield with a minute left. So not making a lot of friends up there, Dino. But my point is that Syracuse quarterback is awful. I mean, he is an awful thrower of the football. But even he had Syracuse in a position to win the game. Now, it was at home. It wasn't on the road. And he didn't do anything with his legs. Like, remember when I talked about the way that he looked when he was just running into the line?
Yeah.
It looked like Ira trying to get yards. When he gets a head of steam going, like if you don't cover a bootleg, he's an exceptional athlete. But he's not quick twitch.
Right.
So he had no answer for those Clemson linebackers and defensive linemen at the line of scrimmage. None. I think his longest run was like 4 yards. Like, he did nothing with his legs, which I thought was the only way they could even be in the game. But he did nothing with his legs, and they still were, you know, a couple of first downs or a bad pass away from beating Clemson. So imagine Jordan Travis healthy, you know, and remaining healthy. They haven't faced, even though they faced the Syracuse kid, they haven't faced a guy like Travis that has the quick twitch that can make you miss in tight spaces. So maybe again, you got a fighting chance going up there. I would have never thought that in a gazillion years. And Clemson, I think, plays Pitt this weekend. And ooh. Pitt, I think, might be the best team in the conference.
Look at that. Narduzzi.
It's crazy. It's going to be Pitt and NC State in the ACC championship game.
Welcome to Charlotte.
NC State's essentially got a two-game lead over Clemson. So unless NC State loses to Florida State and someone else, they're going to be, which is very much an NC State thing to do. They could be in the ACC champion. They might win a conference championship in a sport that matters.
Look at that.
For the first time since you were born, probably.
So, hey, doubling back to the earlier conversation, obviously so much of, I don't know, that's the question I'm going to ask you, though. The good feeling now around being a Florida State fan. I don't know, like, give me your percentage. How much of it is feeling good about what you've seen the last 2 weeks, especially what you saw against North Carolina, versus what the entire college football landscape just looks like right now? You know, Iowa losing, and then obviously Clemson, Florida, Miami, these teams that are on your schedule, these teams that you kind of at best are thinking are coin flip games, maybe if you're even that optimistic in August now. How much of what you feel about what the season can be now lies on the fact, like what percentage is the fact that you just think the schedule is much, much more manageable versus how much of it is that this team is just that much more lethal?
I think it's probably 40-60. Leaning on the latter about just the state of college football. But it's not even just this season. It just seemed like in the middle of September, it's like, man, this is going to be a five-year rebuild. It's going to take 5 years at least for this program to get to any semblance of what we're used to it being. And now I'm like, man, it could be next year, middle of October. Like, that's how – look at college football. As I put in the column – there's like four teams in the country that you know what you're going to get from year to year. Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, and Duke. Other than that, everybody else, you have no idea. Like UTEP is ranked right now.
Yeah.
They're one spot below Clemson. Clemson's barely ranked. Florida isn't ranked. Cincinnati is third. Purdue is ranked. Iowa was number two in the country and scored 7 points at home. By the way, my man at center still had a solid day.
Okay.
Linderbaum, I'm still on you, buddy. I'd like your offense to play better. It might be hard to vote for you to win the Heisman when you're on one of the worst offenses in the country. But still, you're doing you, and you're awesome. But, you know, you look around college football, and it's like in Michigan State. Now, Michigan State's not going to finish undefeated, but they're a good football team. Michigan is a good football team. They weren't 2 years ago. Like, it doesn't take that long. Nowadays in college football, the parity is such that with the transfer portal and just parity around college football and all the upheaval and all the instability, if you have a stable program that develops players and gets a handful of really big-time transfers, you can be good quickly. And so that's what gives you hope, man, because it can turn on a dime either way. Like Clemson literally had Trevor Lawrence and ETN last year. They were one of the best offenses in the country, and this year they're one of the worst. Like it flips both ways, but it's Kentucky's, you know, a top 10-15 caliber team. So that's what I think gives you hope. If you like your guy as a head coach and you believe in what he's doing, it should not take 4 years. Now it might take 5, 8, 10 years to get back to winning a national championship. But it should not take Florida State that long. If this guy's got him on the right track and he's the guy, it should not take them that long to get back into the conversation of being one of the top 10 or 15 programs in the country. So that's what gives you hope, because there's all these ebbs and flows. And if you catch the right tide, you could be in the top 15 really quickly, like a year from now. You really could. By the way, that LSU game, you're going to be facing a brand new coach. All of a sudden, that game seems a little easier if we won't even go into next year, Aslan. You got Duquesne, so you're hoping you're 1-0. And then you got LSU with probably a new quarterback and a whole new system. So maybe that game becomes more winnable as you look ahead to next season. But yeah, I just think the overall state of college football, Florida State isn't very close at all to being a national championship contender. Maybe they're 12 or 20 months away from being a 10-win team. That's not outlandish. I would have thought that was outlandish a month ago.
Yeah.
But because of the way Florida State has played, in part, but also and the way Jordan Travis has played specifically in the defense, but then also the fact that the way the rest of the world looks. Mm-hmm. There aren't any great teams out there, man. There's some good programs, but none of these teams are incredible. Like, I watched Georgia. It was funny. Brady asked me, he's like, do you think Stetson Bennett could start at Florida State? And I go, no. He's like, what? He's the quarterback of the number one team in the country. I was like, no, man, he's not as good as Jordan Travis. And he's not. He can make some nice throws with the football. I'm not arguing that, but he's not incredible. And I'll tell you this, I've seen it up close now. Florida State has better running backs than Georgia. I'm on the record. Now that's about it. The list is over when it comes to Georgia and Florida State and comparing players. But man, they're not bad at running back and quarterback. They're pretty good at both. And so anyway, the thought being, if Jordan Travis can turn into what we hope he can turn into, you got a good quarterback, and you think you've got a good coach or a good plan, good scheme, man, you're not that far away. I thought, again, a month ago, I thought, man, I'm going to be 60 by the time Florida State's any good, if they ever get good. And now I'm like, nope, I think it could happen next year. I think next year they can be ranked, which, again, is Florida State. I know that's weird to say that you're just hoping to get ranked, but I think they can be ranked next year. And I think maybe the year after that, we'll see. It turns around quickly around here, man.
In that vein, as we head on out, like, Clemson can't get right in time for Florida State. I think Clemson is who they are.
They got Pitt, too, right? I mean, Pitt's a tough game. They got to play Pitt before. How about that, by the way? That's the state of the world. Like, Florida State's the trap game after the Pitt game for Clemson. But that's the reality, man. Pitt's the best team in the conference right now.
Yeah, they got to go at Pitt 3:30 right after. So after we're done covering the 52-6 romp over UMass, let's all flip over to whatever channel that's going to be on. Yeah, Clemson at Pitt's 3:30. So Clemson is who they are. At least they're going to be who they are when we go there 2 weeks from now. I do think, I mean, if Florida State can get right in 2 weeks with Jordan Travis getting healthy, I still think Florida can probably get right with that quarterback of theirs. And that defense, just Dan Mullen's an SOB. I bet whatever the spread is for the Georgia game, I'll go right now and say that Florida, give me I'll take the points. Because I think he'll play those games so tough. Miami is kind of the one I wonder about, because this quarterback of theirs, he's got, you know, 3 weeks to kind of figure things out. Because we talked about this team. All this said, they're now sort of on pace, right? They're on pace to be what we thought they were going to be this season. But
right.
maybe it's this 5-7 that they end up being is going to be maybe much better than we would have thought 6-6 or 7-5 possibly could have looked like, right? Because you're counting the Jacksonville State game. But it's important that they win one of those three, though, right? Like,
I think so. I think if you're really trying to preach improvement, then yeah, going 0-3 against your rivals when your rivals aren't good. Now Florida, again, I think you're right. I think Florida's going to be tough, man. That if that quarterback's healthy, that's a really good offense. You know, Mullen's going to put up over 30 something points against your defense. He just is.
Yeah.
And so can you go down there and put up over 30? You haven't done that much since I've been alive. Scored 35 or so in the swamp. That hasn't happened a ton, but yeah, I think, you know, you really need to beat Miami, man. That's what it comes down to. You beat Miami and finish with 5 wins, 4 or 5, even if it's 4-8, and one of the four is Miami, and you look competent in these other games.
Which I think we can almost go ahead and say we believe that's the case, right?
I really do. I would be disappointed if they came out and like lost to NC State 40-9, or lost to Boston College 35-13 or something. I would be surprised and frustrated by that, because I don't see that happening. I think you hope the corner has been turned. You know, those teams might be, you know, NC State is just better than Florida State probably. So you might just lose because they're better. But don't lose because your kids just didn't believe, or they stopped playing when they got down by a couple scores. Like, that's what you hope is through. And I do. I think we both think that's the case. And Florida might have put 40 on you, and you play hard on defense. Yeah, I mean, you never know, man. We're so far away. Like, that's still 6 weeks away, that game. Who knows what the defense will look like then? Who's available, what the personnel looks like. I mean, if you're rolling out like Fuller and McClendon at defensive end to play Florida for some reason, that's what can Adam Fuller do? But I just think overall, Yeah, I think you could look at this season because what the biggest thing is to me, man, is it. I thought when this season started, I thought Florida and Clemson were three laps ahead of you. They could pit for 4 minutes and still you wouldn't catch up with them. Now I don't think, I think you might be on the same lap as them. Now they're still in front of you, but because of the way you're recruiting, if you keep this recruiting class in place, because of the way this team has improved from last year to this year, and even from month to month, you feel like you're at least in the race with them. They're still way ahead of you. You're still looking at their backs, but you're not getting lapped like I thought maybe you were. Now we'll see what the, I mean, even if Clemson beats Florida State by three touchdowns, I know we use what happens on the field as the biggest gauge, but you're looking at Clemson this year. They're not a great team, right?
Correct. Apparently, right. Again, I didn't watch any of this game, but
no, they're not. Their defense is good, really good. He's a great coach, but their offense is awful, and so they're not a good football team. They're not incredible. They're not a championship contender. So even if the reason that the gap is narrowed is because they've lost a step or five, that's still good for you that the gap is narrowed, mm-hmm. and the gap is narrowed with your other two in-state teams as well. Even if it's mainly on their end. But I don't think it's all on their end. I think you have improved. They have gotten worse. So that gap is narrowed, man. It's a lot more narrow than I thought it was. And I say all this knowing that how the next 6 weeks plays out, we might be having a whole different discussion in December than we are right now. But as it appears right now in the middle of October, I'm going to couch that and qualify that. How it appears right now, I mean, you're not scared of any of these teams.
No.
And that's a cool place to be at, right?
Yeah, and certainly, again, not scared of Clemson. Again, who knows? And I don't think anybody will be scared of Miami. Miami can get a little bit better. Who knows? Maybe they fire Manning by the time we play them and they find some sort of spark, or this quarterback kind of gets some better sea legs with, you know, Rhett Lashley getting maybe more control. Who knows? But, like, at least at Clemson, I'm like, you're going – and again, this gives us – like, these are legitimate teams that you have to measure yourself up against. And you're kind of, to your point about being at least on the same lap, like you're on even ground with these teams. So you're going to be able to look and see how you really stack up against Clemson and get a really good sense of what you have with the staff and how you feel about moving forward. And that's something that we thought we were like another year and a half away from or so at best. So that's what I'm excited about. We never thought this was going to be a boring season, right? We're like, hey, it might not be as successful as we all hope it's going to be. Going to that first game against Notre Dame, but just we didn't think it was going to be boring. And with the way everybody else looks and the opportunities out there here in the next 4, 5, 6 weeks, it's going to be exciting. And we're going to get real hard answers. Like, we're going to see the truth of the matter, which that's what bothers everybody the most, I think. Is like no one knows. Like, you hope. Like, that was my problem with David Coburn talking about what he said about Mike Norvell at the Board of Trustees. I mean, like, man, you can certainly, like, we believe in his vision, but the fact, like, we got our guy. He's gonna win games. We're all right. It's like, you know, okay. You look fine now. You're Nostradamus now, Coburn. Shout out. Thanks for listening to the program. But like, you can believe in the vision of things. But now that you're gonna play these teams that are on a bit of, you know, level ground with you, then you really know whether or not this guy can win games and win important games, and you can count on sustained success. So, looking forward to it, Corey. Do I get to look forward to seeing you later today at the press conference? You're still gonna be in Atlanta.
I'll be in Atlanta for that. I'm coming back as we record this. I'm getting ready to take Brady to the Braves game 2 of the NLCS against the Dodgers. Big win. Shout out to Austin Riley. I know he's a big listener, a big fan of the show.
Mississippi
for getting that walk-off hit on Saturday night. That was fun. That was a fun sports day for the Clarks. Hopefully we can make it 2 in a row. Not holding my breath, but we'll see. But then I'll be coming back on Monday night is the plan. Going to be recording headlines, maybe go out to a practice or two, see what's going on, maybe go out to a basketball practice so we can talk about that a little bit too. That would be nice. And before we leave, just in the state of college football, we touched on it briefly, but our man Ed O is done. What 20 months after winning a national championship, he's gone. 20 hours after beating Florida. I thought that was going to save his job for a week, and they're like, no, but let's go ahead and the names that will come out of for this job search will be very interesting. I know Jimbo just signed that extension, but the buyout is still zero for LSU if they want to go get him. They don't have to pay some $90 million buyout. They don't have to pay anything. So So that'll be that'll be interesting to see how much traction his name gets. He's going to be asked about it. So what are his answers going to be? And did they look anything like the answers he gave about LSU while he was here at Florida State? Are they much more emphatic? Like, no, I'm staying at Texas A&M. Ari's going to be like, look, I never say no. So that'll be interesting to watch. But yeah, if you want to know the state of college football in 2021 and just how unstable it is as a profession, go win a national championship and then be out of a job less than 2 years later.
And not two loss, Les Miles national championship, undefeated, humiliating Alabama in Bryant-Denny Stadium. Yeah. Maybe the most high-powered, and again, I know it wasn't your offense, it was Joe Brady's offense, but you got Joe Burrow down there. You stuck with him. You surrounded him with Ja'Marr Chase and everybody. Just incredible. Incredible. And then, yeah, my guy in the sports editor at AL.com, like, retweets the Dellinger story. One of the best jobs in college football will open up soon. Expect a lot of successful coaches to want this one. He didn't tweet anything like that when they fired Willie. You know, that hurts my feelings. Like the way we talk about LSU, right? Like LSU lost in the wilderness, and now they've won three national titles in the last, you know, 18 years, and they're, you know, one of the best jobs. But I get it.
Yeah.
It's, you know, you got that one job. It's the only show in town. It's the only show in a really talent-rich state, and you get to, you know, get
it's
all
been
the
a
games.
Well, look, it was a incredibly underachieving program for my whole life until Saban got there. Mm-hmm. I mean, it didn't do anything. They did nothing. They won 8 or 9 games every now and again, but it was a joke of a pro, not a joke, but it was Auburn. It was less than Auburn. Like, and they had the whole, like, it was incredible how bad LSU was for so long. And then finally Saban turned it around. And even then, they've unleashed this monster where, you know, Les Miles is, they love Les Miles, then they hate him. And then they love him while they hate him. And then they grit their teeth because they won a national championship with him. And it's like they did it again with Ed O. Like, they knew he wasn't the reason they won a championship with him. It was the offense and it was Burrow. But, you know, they're in a rush to get rid of him. And the same, whoever they replace him with, it's going to go through the same things. It's a tough place to coach, man. It's been a tough place to coach for everyone, really everyone, not named Nick Saban. It's been a tough place to coach.
All right.
But, hey, that's their problem, right?
Yeah.
And Florida State's got something for him next Labor Day.
That's right.
Up in the Superdome.
So you know I can't.
A good way to kick off the season.
You know I can't go cover the game if Jimbo is the coach for LSU, right? Like, I'm going to have to sit it out.
I'm sure Gene and I wouldn't allow you to go.
Okay. All
right, it would get a little uncomfortable. You'd give him a hug.
Oh.
He wouldn't even know who you were because you didn't cover him while you were here. He'd already left, but he'd be like, man, and you'd be wearing your war chant gear. So he'd be dubious, like, okay, what's this guy about to do? And then you just give him a long embrace. By the way, did you read the story of the kid? Did we already talk about that? The kid that snuck into the post-game celebration?
We didn't talk about it. There was a text message about it. I didn't get to do the
deep dive. It was really funny. It was just the guy pretended to be a kicker from Mexico, a recruit.
Yeah.
And he got into the A&M Alabama game at halftime. And wound up on the field. He sat with the recruits because he had a VIP pass, but it was a VIP pass to some party, tailgate party. But the people at the stadium didn't know that. They just saw a big VIP and they let him in. And he pretended he didn't speak English. And they let him sit with the recruits and then they let him into the locker room after the game. And he even took a picture with Jimbo.
Yeah. That's what I'm going to do.
Jimbo even said, Jimbo was like, because I guess he thought he was a recruit or he told Jimbo he was a recruit. He's like, hey, well, that's why we're recruiting you. We think you're talented. You're a good player. And Texas A&M is the place for you. That's why we're recruiting you. That's why you're here. It's like, I mean, that's what the kids said, Jimbo said. Who knows?
Right.
It wasn't on. But he had a bunch of Instagram live videos to prove that where he was. But who knows if Jimbo really said that. But, man, that was a really funny story.
I'll be like, Coach Jimbo, this is me. I like you, Coach. Can I come kick for Tiger?
Football. Yeah, I mean, and the kid, what's funny is the kid is – he's bilingual because I think his parents actually are from Mexico.
Yeah.
So he's bilingual. He grew up bilingual. He speaks Spanish fluently, but he had to pretend, and he speaks English fluently without an accent. But he had to pretend to have an accent just to get where he wanted to go. We thought that was his best way to get into the stadium was to pretend he didn't speak English.
All right, let's try to speak decent English when we spoke to the HUD football coach. We'll get him, Kenny, Adam, Papuchis. Everything will be up on warchant.com, so do stay connected. For Corey, I'm Aslan. Thanks so much for listening to Wake Up War Chant, fueled by the Luna Coffee. Come explore our world of coffee. Deluna Coffee features over 24 different blends. Deluna's unique roasts can be delivered ground finely for drip coffee makers, coarse for the craft crowd, untouched as a whole bean, or even in convenient K-cups. Founded in 2014 by the Lemix family, Ed and Brett are FSU alums and boosters who are extending a special offer to all listeners. Use the promo code WARCHANT15 for a 15% discount. Visit DelunaCoffee.com and check out their Facebook and Instagram.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.